It's supporting residents with the cost of living crisis. I knocked on door after door during the by-election campaign where people were struggling with their mortgages, their energy bills, the price of a basket of food. I think as the new MP, my number one priority is really kind of getting to grips with that issue, giving people all the support they can. And another thing I pledged during the campaign and that I'm working on doing now is setting up cost of living support hubs for constituents so that if you are struggling with any of those things, you can access expert advice and, yeah, hopefully be able to get a grip on some of these really difficult situations we're seeing, because honestly I was having conversations across the constituency that were heartbreaking with people struggling, and something needs to be done to fix it.
It is an extremely difficult thing to do. It is a problem on a national scale. You've mentioned one or two solutions there, but you've got no magic wand to wave that's going to make people's lives cheaper or more bearable when it comes to the price of food, when it comes to their mortgage payments, when it comes to the cost of energy. How do you do it?
No, absolutely not. And there are big things that we can do around energy security and reforming the way that mortgages work that can give people some security. But we do also need to be honest with people, as you say, that there isn't that magic wand. And actually, the best thing that is going to bring down inflation and on the, you know, mortgage rates in the long term is by having that financial stability. And that's why Rachel Reeves, the Shadow Chancellor, has been incredibly clear that all of our spending has to be very, very tightly controlled. There's no room kind of for flex. You've got to be very disciplined, because we've seen the consequences with Liz Truss's mini budget of what will happen if you make unfunded spending commitments, unfunded tax cuts. People need to know that we're going to be incredibly serious about protecting the public finances, and that's the thing that will solve the cost of living crisis in the long term.
Tell me about winning an election. Did you actually win it, or did the Conservatives lose it because of their national unpopularity?
Well, it often felt like they were doing their best to lose it. I mean, the circumstances in which Nigel Adams resigned as the MP and sort of threw his toys out the pram, abandoned his constituents during the middle of a cost of living crisis because he didn't get a peerage in the House of Lords, was absolutely appalling. And that did come up on the doorstep, that level of frustration and that feeling that people have been taken for granted. But I don't think it's right to say that we won in Selby and Ainsty because Tory voters stayed home. And that's actually because a lot of people who had voted Conservative their entire life told me that they were going to lend me their support this time. Now, that means it's going to be incredibly important that I work extremely hard to repay the faith that they've shown in me. But I think that because we stood on a plan that was kind of future-focused, that was optimistic and that offered a fresh start, it actually meant that lots of people who would normally vote Tory decided to try Labour for the very first time.
Party is riding very high in the polls at the moment and has been doing so for a long time. I mean, many, many points in the lead over the Conservatives. But your namesake, party leader Keir Starmer, he isn't really. There's a problem with Keir Starmer as party leader, isn't there? He just doesn't cut through. Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure I totally agree there. I think some people say, oh, well, Keir's not exciting enough. I don't really think that's the case. I mean, we've just had Boris Johnson as Prime Minister and then Liz Truss. And I think the British public are fed up of people who make promises that they can't keep and are these kind of like bombastic, over-the-top figures. I think they want somebody who is serious, who is sensible, who's got public interest at heart. And I think that those are the sort of values that Keir Starmer embodies. And, you know, as a former director of public prosecutions, he's used to doing a big job to deliver on the public interest. And I think that's what people see. I think the age of the kind of flash politicians who make promises they can't deliver is over. And he's actually offering sobriety, seriousness and strength in leadership that I think people see and think, yeah, that's somebody I would trust to be Prime Minister.
Is seriousness what people want these days? We live in a world of Donald Trump's, who is very entertaining, though you may find what he did and said quite appalling. Boris Johnson, very entertaining. There he was presenting "Have I Got News for You" on television. The problem is, I think, that these days people are expecting their leading politicians to be somewhat entertaining, and many people will simply say that Keir Starmer's dull.
Well, I'm not sure, because under Boris Johnson, you know, we did have a bombastic and a flash character as Prime Minister. And for a while, I think some people did find that entertaining and exciting and that it disrupted our politics. That being said, we're sat here after a few years of Tory government and after Liz Truss, who was exciting in her own way. And what do we have but a crashed economy, things like Levelling Up not delivered, the government failing to live up to its promises on Brexit. And I think now the public... I get this feeling on the doorstep that they know that we need a serious person for serious times. And I think that is what Keir Starmer offers. But it's actually not just a question of kind of excitement and charisma. You look at Rishi Sunak, who is not a flash person, who is not out there cracking jokes and being really dynamic in that way. I think there's a sense that he's not living up to the moment either, but that's because he doesn't have the strength necessary to corral a very divided Tory party and actually lead the nation with the strength that's required of a prime minister. So I think we are moving away from that age of the kind of the pantomime politician.
You'd use the word age there. Can we come to an elephant?
Oh, absolutely.
Can we come to an elephant in the room? You are very young. You're just 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're the baby of the house. Mm-hmm. You are the youngest MP at Westminster, which is great, presumably. I think people can probably tell from the way you speak and the way you handle yourself. You're full of energy. You're raring to go. Cynics, though, are going to say, and I'm sure they've said it to you already, if you are only 25 years old, have you got enough real life experience to properly represent the regular folks of Selby?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this, you know, there are lots of Conservative MPs in the House of Commons who've got a lot more lived experience than me. They're from, you know, a certain demographic. And there is a question of, you know, where has that experience got us in terms of the leadership that they'd offered the country? And, you know, Parliament is the people's house, and that means that you need representation of people from right across the political spectrum, but also age, you know, an age range as well. And I think it's fantastic that we've got people from all walks of life in Parliament, and I'm really happy to play my part in that. But I would also say this, you know, I grew up in quite a rural village just over the border in East Yorkshire. I know what it's like when your bus doesn't show up, when young people have got a lack of economic opportunity, when your public services don't work. I think people in Selby want to know that their MP is someone who gets it because they've lived it. And I have lived those same experiences. And I'm, you know, it's another point as well about the economic situation that young people are in, whether that's kind of financial precariousness in their work or not being able to get on the housing ladder. They're people who are living politics just like everybody else. But fundamentally, I think people in Selby want an MP who, regardless of your age, is going to be in your corner and fighting for you and be on your side. And that's something that I want to do for people, irrespective of their age and irrespective of mine.
You talk about the demographic. Correct me if I'm wrong here. You're from a reasonably well-off background. You were privately educated. You went to which university?
Oxford.
So, you know, privately educated, public school, prep school, and then Oxford University. It's a rather rarefied world that you come from. And people will say, you've never got your hands dirty. You've never stood at a lathe and had to make something. You've never worked behind a cash register in a shop or been a hospital porter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to concern some people that you come from a perhaps a different class of people to many people in the Selby area. Not all, but some.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's completely true, to be honest with you. So
I didn't think you would.
No. Well, so I was born in Hull and I grew up there until I was about 11. Both my parents were careers advisors. I'm from a pretty normal middle class family, to be honest with you. And the reason that I was able to go to the school I did when I was in primary school is because my mum worked incredibly hard because she wanted a better future for her kid. And I, you know, I'm extremely proud of the fact she did that. And I did manage to work extremely hard and get to Oxford. But from my comprehensive secondary school, which I was at the entire time, I was in secondary education. So really, people like me weren't supposed to get to universities like Oxford. And I think I've worked incredibly hard to get where I've got to. But you're right, that doesn't mean I've got experience of every other walk of life. And that's why it's really important that I'm out in Selby every single day, meeting with constituents, learning about their lived experience, because it's not my job to just use, you know, what I've experienced in my life to inform my politics. I'm supposed to be representative for everybody in the constituency. And you don't get that unless you're present. And I think with the previous MP, you know, he didn't get out into the community in Selby maybe as much as people expected him to. And I've been coming to community events, you know, I was in Egborough at the Coffee Morning last week, things like that. You turn up and people go, oh, it's so great you're here, but that is the absolute bare minimum that people should expect of their MP.
Are they recognising you, Net?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. I tell you what, though, during the by-election, I always wore this this grey jacket. And if I've got the grey jacket on, I do very much get recognised. But sometimes if I'm just cutting about in jeans and a T-shirt, I slip through unnoticed sometimes.
Tell me about you. What makes you tick? Just set the politics aside for a minute and what have you. But what about you? What makes you tick? What's the fun thing, the hobby? What do you like? Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have as much time to do it now, but I really love playing rugby. I can't pretend I'm very good, but I am very enthusiastic and I love it. And that's, you know, played rugby league and rugby union, but I'm a rugby league fan. So, I think I just enjoy doing what anybody else would like doing. I like hanging out with my friends. I enjoy a pint at the pub. I enjoy playing sport, you know, and I think it's really important, especially because being an MP is such an intense job and it takes up such a kind of large amount of your time and it's on weekends. You don't switch off. I think it's really important, actually, that you do find that time to just you know, do your normal life and crack on as you would normally.
What do you like most about your new constituency? You know, the Selby's got some great things. It's got a fabulous Selby Abbey, for
Absolutely,
example.
Yeah.
I love shopping in Selby because there's some great shops around. But what turns you on about the place that you now represent? Because, of course, I keep referring to Selby, but it's Selby and Ainsty. So you take in many other places too.
Yep, so I have Sherburden, Elmet, Tadcaster, lots of little villages, Church Fenton, South Milford. And can I be cheeky and choose two things about what I love?
Yeah, of course.
All right, perfect. Well, number
one... It's not Desert Island Disc, you know. You're not restricted to one.
Well, number one is definitely the people. I mean, I feel like Selby is so representative of what Yorkshire is like as a county. Like, people take you as they find you. They're very open, they're very warm, but they're very honest as well. And they don't necessarily give you a free ride, and they're very happy to ask you a tough question. And I love that attitude. I like the fact that, you know, they accept you as you are, but you're there to work hard. And I really like the way that, you know, people on the doorstep see the role of an MP, and I really, really kind of respect it. The other thing I would say as well is I feel like I probably represent one of the most beautiful constituencies in the United Kingdom. And, you know, whether it's kind of rolling countryside, beautiful woods, or like Selby Abbey, as you were saying, it's a uniquely beautiful part of the world, and I feel extremely proud to be able to represent it.
The local council in Selby disappeared some months ago now, mm-hmm. with a big reorganisation, was replaced by North Yorkshire Council. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's working for your constituents in the Selby area, or are there shortcomings in this new way the county is ruled and governed, I suppose?
Well, you know, I think so. We're obviously shifting over to North Yorkshire Council now. I do think these things take time. It's a big logistical exercise to move over from Selby District to North Yorkshire. But there are definitely growing pains and issues as we transition over. And I know that green bins is an enormous issue in Selby District that I'm going to be talking to North Yorkshire Council about. But I also think as well that point about representation is really important. And I have heard people say to me on the doorstep, oh, but if the council's based in North Allerton, does that mean we're going to get, you know, as much of a voice, as much of a seat at the table? And that really necessitates that me and the elected representatives for the Selby area work as hard as we can to make sure that Selby is front and centre in the thinking of North Yorkshire Council staff and its elected representatives.
I mean, the difficulty is in Selby and Ainsty, you are about as far away from the seat of government, as it were, in North Yorkshire, in North Allerton, as it's possible to be.
Well, that'll mean that we'll have to shout the loudest, you know, we'll have to be really, really clear about what the priorities are for our local area. And we do have big challenges, whether that's kind of like public transport, local education services, flooding, you know, these are all really specific issues that affect our local area, and we've got to be really, really clear that we need action taken on them.
Are there any Selby schools or indeed other public buildings in your constituency that are affected by this potentially dangerous concrete rack? Do you know that yet?
I'm extremely glad to say that I don't think there are. I hope I'm not corrected, but I believe that none of the schools in the Selby area are affected.
That would be extremely good news and a relief to parents and people who are involved in other buildings as well. Tell me about some of the mechanics of becoming an MP. I saw online your swearing-in ceremony mm-hmm. the other day. Tell me about the process of being sworn in and taking your seat in the House of Commons, because it's a rough and ready place. It can be really tough and quite unpleasant at times. We heard about, you know, people virtually fighting in the lobbies not that many months ago.
Well, I haven't had any fights yet, you'll be pleased to hear. But just to wind it all the way back to the night of my election, so that was on the 20th of July, the very first thing that happens is you're kind of taken away from the stage where you've done your victory speech, and somebody from Parliament is there, and they hand you an envelope that basically inducts you into your role as an MP and tells you, you know, where you'll need to show up and all the rest of it. And it's quite a solemn moment, actually, and it hits you the enormity of what's happened. But I was quite lucky that I got elected on the day that parliamentary recess began. So that meant that I got a month in the constituency, hitting the ground running, meeting with local people and cracking on with constituency casework and other things like that. But it's meant that there's this lag. So on Monday of this week, I arrived in Parliament to be sworn in. And it's one of those pieces of kind of parliamentary ceremony where you swear an oath to the King on the Bible to say that you'll bear true allegiance to His Majesty and His heirs and successors according to law. And then you shake the hand of the Speaker of the House of Commons and he gives you a bit of a congratulations, and then you kind of assume your place in Parliament. It's an absolutely incredible experience, and you do feel this weight of responsibility that I am in this kind of hallowed space, the chamber of the House of Commons, to represent people in Selby and Ainsty. And when you're actually living it after a month of being in the constituency and cracking on with that side of the job, which will take up most of your time, to be down there in Parliament was an incredibly special experience.
There are some lovely people around in the world of politics, but
Absolutely.
There are also some people who are not so lovely, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any words of advice and wisdom about perhaps dealing with those people who will try and undermine you, maybe because of your age, for example?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that I'm not there to get involved in personality politics or the kind of Punch and Judy politics that you sometimes see from Westminster debate.
But inevitably that will creep in. I mean, you're a young man. You're obviously in this, you know, you're not an aspiring politician. You are a politician now, and there is a big long ladder that you can climb. And in 20, 30 years' time, maybe sooner than that, you know, you could be holding one of the great offices of state. You could even be Prime Minister.
Oh, it's very ambitious. I think, but it's all about how you respond. And I think fundamentally, there's a way in which you should think about this as, you know, forget all the ceremony, forget the personalities. I'm actually there to do a job. I'm there to show up every day and hold the government to account on behalf of my constituents, fight for the issues that matter to them, and vote on legislation. Those are the core parts of my job. And I think, in a way, you should strip out all of the personalities and all the rest of it and just see it as something that you need to get down to Westminster and really graft at and work hard. And that's very much how I'm trying to approach the job, at least in my first few months.
Have you got lost yet in the House of Commons? Because, I mean, the place is an absolute labyrinth.
Oh, it's a rabbit warren, yeah.
And there is a long reputation of MPs, particularly new MPs, having absolutely rubbish facilities when it comes to office space and the like. Have you got a decent office?
I do. Well, so I'm quite lucky that I've got an office at all, because some people, if you get elected in a general election, you don't get an office for months. So I have an office. It has a window, which I've been told is quite highbrow for a new MP. And yeah, it's all working quite well. The place is an absolute rabbit warren, though, and I have gotten lost a couple of times, but I'm sure that'll come with experience.
It's falling down. Watch your head. You know, there are bits of masonry dropping off it all the time.
Yeah. But the one thing I would say is that the staff in Parliament, and that's not just kind of the doorkeepers and the, you know, the people you see in the fancy outfits who've got those ceremonial responsibilities, but the kind of kitchen staff, the people who work in the cafes, the police officers who keep us safe in Parliament, are all so happy to help and are kind of phenomenal, welcoming people that I've been really lucky to get the chance to meet over the last week.
It must be a treat for them to have someone around who's not as crusty and as ancient as some of your fellow MPs.
Well, you could say that.
You haven't made your maiden speech yet. You haven't stood up and actually spoken and made a speech in the House of Commons. When's that on the cards? And traditionally, I think in maiden speeches, MPs talk about and praise the beauty of their constituency. But that's a bit limp, isn't it? Are you going to do something different or what?
Well, so you've got a lot of kind of choice about when you do your maiden speech. And I'm going to wait until after the conference recess to do it. When we have our King's Speech, and new legislation has come to Parliament and the government is setting out its new agenda for the parliamentary term. Because I think it will be really important to speak in my maiden speech about how that legislation is going to affect residents in Selby and Ainsty. But I do also think it is massively important that you speak about why it is that you're so proud to represent the place that you're from. And I think I'd exceed my time limit if I was allowed to just go on and on about why Selby and Ainsty is a fantastic place, you know, to have a family, to start a business, to be part of our amazing local communities that we have. So it needs to be a blend of both. It needs to speak to the priorities of your constituents and your political priorities, but also as well, it is a nice moment to begin your parliamentary career by speaking about why you love your constituency so much. So I intend to do both.
I gave you an open goal earlier on and I asked you what your favourite thing is about your constituency. What's your least favourite thing? What is the thing where you think, do you know what, if I'm going to be the MP for Selby and Ainsty for however long it might be, I'm going to get something done about that. What needs to change?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've already spoken about the cost of living crisis and how important it is to try and fix that for residents. But number two after that, our public transport is absolutely shocking in this constituency, especially bus travel. So I was down in Egborough, which is kind of to the south of Selby, last week at a coffee morning. And it was largely kind of older ladies who kind of came along to have a coffee and a chat with one another, a real sense of community. They've all got their bus passes. They all want to go to Doncaster or to Selby to go to the market, live their lives. lives, socialise with their friends, and they can't do it because the bus service through the village is absolutely terrible. It's the same in Caywood, where the bus service is basically non-functional. And I spoke to one lady on the doorstep whose husband passed away. She doesn't drive, and she's essentially marooned. She's stuck in a home. And it doesn't make any sense that, you know, especially for older people who've paid into the system their entire lives, they should expect that they can have public transport that works. And I think it's holding our local area back. And that actually applies to young people especially as well, because whether it's get into college or get into your job, young people who want to grow up in a place that they love and that they call home and where their families live can't get from A to B, and they can't get to what they need. And I think that that's something I would really like to kind of chat with local transport providers to try and get some action on.
Well, I mean, that is the question, isn't it? You have no magic wand. As MP, you cannot fund a better bus service. How do you do it? You know, fine words butter no parsnips, as they say. You can say all the right things about wanting better public transport. You can't change that, can you?
Well, it's about using your platform in the right way, I think, because one thing that you're right, in a sense, MPs don't have as many formal powers as I think people would expect. But what you do have is a platform and an ability to kind of bring people together, convene people with influence and get them around a table. And, you know, sometimes when it's necessary, bang heads together and say, right, what is going on with X or Y service, or why doesn't this bus run here on time? And, you know, having those conversations is a fantastic place to start, and actually keeping up that consistent pressure, speaking on behalf of your constituents so that they can kind of speak through you with one voice, and using that power of the people that you represent, I think is actually one of the best ways. And also as well, ultimately, you've got the power in Parliament to question the government about why they're not taking sufficient action on things like public transport, which makes such an enormous difference to people's lives.
Selby needs jobs, it needs successful local businesses.
Yep.
What buttons can you press as the newly elected MP to make sure that those jobs exist for local people?
Absolutely. So this is something that I've actually kind of really wanted to hit the ground running with from day one. So I've been chatting with the Federation of Small Businesses. I went to the Selby and Elmet Business Forum and met with local businesses there. And I think actually the most important thing you can do is be a champion for the area and already explain that there are lots of small businesses, SMEs in the Selby area that are already doing fantastic work. But you're right, there is always more that can be done. And I think that Labour has got kind of ambitious plans around regenerating high streets and things like that. But I appreciate Labour is not in power at the moment. So I think it's a combination of working with local businesses, working with the local council, getting people together in the same room and discussing what the best opportunities are for businesses to grow. Because you're right, Selby needs a long-term sustainable future that is rooted in business and small businesses and people wanting to come here and build a life here. And I think that the MP ought to use their platform to make as big a kind of an impact in that space as possible. So I'll be having a round table with the Federation of Small Businesses and some small firms in the area and some medium-sized employers too, to talk about how we can take that forward really shortly.
The smart money says a general election probably in a year's time, maybe just over a year, talking about back end of next year, next October maybe.
Yeah.
You could find yourself having to run for office all over again. You know, you've only just been elected, and you could find yourself involved in an election battle within 12 months.
Well, a general election cannot come soon enough. I think after 13 years of this government, it really does feel like nothing works in this country anymore. I think people are desperate for a change. And there is a question about how long we can continue to suffer in a cost of living crisis with a government that feels asleep at the wheel. So I very much relish the opportunity to get out there and speak to voters about those issues and talk about how best I can represent them. But also as well, I hope by that stage, I'll be able to come and say, look, I stood on these five pledges in the by-election. This is how I've delivered for you. I ask you to give me a chance, and I've worked really hard to repay the faith you've shown in me. And obviously it's the voters who will be the ultimate judge, but I intend to do everything I can in that time to prove that I was a good choice.
You knock the government, and of course you do. You are a Labour politician, a Labour MP. Some people might say, hang on a minute here. This government has had an awful lot to contend with. They've had a global situations, the like of which we've never seen before. We've had a global pandemic which caused horrendous problems worldwide. We've got war in the Ukraine, and that has caused problems. I mean, this government has had an awful lot on its plate. They're a very easy target to kick, given what they've had to contend with.
That, in a sense, that's true. But all of these enormous global challenges require long-term thinking, and a government that is actually willing to kind of grip the wheel and take responsibility and take charge. So you take the energy crisis as a really good example. Nothing like, you know, the war in Ukraine exemplifies how critical it is that the UK has got an energy system that is fundamentally secure, that we can produce as much of our own energy as we need. And we've seen today how no new offshore wind projects are going to happen in this year because of the kind of botched tendering scheme that the government has presided over. There's a lack of coherent thinking. There's a lack of long-term focus on how to keep Britain safe. And I think that the government has, you know, run out of road. They've cycled through three prime ministers, facilitated an economic catastrophe under Liz Truss, which has put us in an even weaker position. And now, after 13 years, I think voters look back at that legacy of the Conservatives' time in office, whether that's austerity under David Cameron, broken promises and lies under Boris Johnson, Liz Truss crashing the economy, or Rishi Sunak being a weak prime minister. And they think, what have we really got to show for it after a decade of Tory rule? And it's that inability to get a grip, which I think says, yes, there have been big challenges, but the government should have done more every step of the way.
You talk about energy security there. You don't happen to know any MPs have got any large power stations in their neck of the woods, do you?
No, I do. I do. I have Drax.
Yeah. And tell me about Drax, because we're a world that's extremely concerned about climate change at the moment. There are net zero targets to meet by, is it 2030 or 2050? It's going to be upon us before we know. We're seeing global flooding at the moment. We're seeing high temperatures, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. What's the future for Drax?
Drax is absolutely critical to our energy makeup in this country. I think it produces around 7% of the UK's electricity. I'm happy to be corrected on that, but I think it's around that. Drax not only plays a key part of our energy mix now, but the sort of technologies it's pioneering around BECCS and sequestration into the North Sea, these things are absolutely crucial in bridging that gap towards net zero. And also as well, looking at it from the perspective of a constituency MP, Drax provides thousands of jobs in our local economy, directly at the power station, but also downstream in our supply chains too. So Drax isn't going anywhere as a critical part of our energy infrastructure.
Do you want to be Prime Minister one day?
I want to be Labour MP for Selby and Ainsley. This is the absolute privilege of my life to do. I'm not kind of thinking about, oh, in the future, would I like to do this or do that? This is the most amazing job in the world, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. And yeah, it's just the privilege of my life to be able to do it.
That was the right answer. That is the one that
it's the truth.
That's the one that Labour Party head office would strongly approve of, and your media and whatever people would strongly approve of. But here you are, 25 years old. You've got your first very firm foot on the first rung of the political ladder. You are the youngest MP. Would you like to be Prime Minister one day?
Genuinely, the opportunity to do this job I'm doing now is all I could have hoped for. And, you know, it's my responsibility to kind of represent, but also protect the interests of 80,000 people who call this constituency their home. That is an incredibly solemn responsibility, and it's one that I want to spend a good deal of time getting to grips with, doing with professionalism and care and pride in what I do. I'm not speculating on the future. I'm so incredibly privileged to be able to do this job.
Is there really not a little bit of you that says, come on, you know, you've done an amazing thing here. You're the youngest MP in the House of Commons. Here you are. Possibly a Labour government on its way. Do you not fancy the top job one day?
Well, you know, I sat in PMQs on Wednesday.
This is Prime Minister's question
term. Yes, that's right. And I saw Rishi Sunak getting kind of pilloried by the opposition benches, and Keir Starmer taking him to task over RAC and the lack of safety in our schools. And I thought, God, this is not an enviable job. This is incredibly tough. And, you know, politics is a profession that it's incredibly difficult. It's extremely rewarding, but it's incredibly difficult. So I think it's in my best interest to just get to grips with the job I'm doing now and really savour every moment of it. Because, as I say, it's an absolutely enormous privilege.
You support Hull KR.
I do.
Your constituents forgive you for that.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we've got divided loyalties across Selby and Ainsley when it comes to rugby league.
I know.
Because, that we've got Castleford Tigers fans, Leeds Rhinos fans. I've even met one or two Rovers fans, and I went and played touch rugby the other week and somebody showed up in a Hull FC shirt. So, you know, there is room for everybody in our constituency.
When you play, and you said you enjoy playing, what position do you play?
Wing or fullback. I'm not big enough for anything else.
No, I was tight head prop there in the scrum.
Oh, nice.
No, cauliflower ears, and you end up getting crushed on one side of your body and walking a bit strangely for about seven hours after. You're going to get time to pursue leisure activities? You said that, you know, you needed time away from the pressure cooker of Westminster and from constituency life as well.
Well, I think it's really important that you have time to do the things that you enjoy. I think it's really good for your mental health, especially doing exercise. I think that's absolutely crucial. I'll be frank, I'm not going to be able to turn up every single Saturday and get my boots on and play rugby anymore. But I do intend to do, you know, I think physical fitness has always been, you know, something I've really loved doing. And I think team sports as well are absolutely amazing. So I'm going to try my best to find the chance to do something. It's funny, though, over the summer, there was a charity rugby league tournament called Scrappers Cup in Sherburn and Elmet, which raised funds for some amazing charities. And they have a charity rugby league match with all of these greats from like Leeds Rhinos. So Jamie Jones Buchanan was the kind of commentator, and Keith Senior was playing, and Danny Brough played. And one of the people there was like, oh, why don't you get your boots on and get on for 10 minutes or so? And I thought, oh, that sounds really, really fun. And I kind of half entertained the idea, and I was like, oh, but if somebody takes the MP's head off in the first 10 minutes of the game, it's not going to be the best look. But
is there a parliamentary team you can play for?
There's a parliamentary rugby union team. So who knows, I might dip my toes in, but maybe
the posh boys,
maybe there's room for a rugby league one.
The posh boys. What's the thing about you that nobody knows? What's the hidden talent? I mean, can you cook, or could you paint a picture, or could you stand up, play a musical instrument, or sing a song? What's the thing you've been hiding from the world?
I don't feel like I've been hiding it. I certainly can't cook. I'm absolutely rubbish. I can hold a tune. I'm not like a Pavarotti or anything, but I'm all right. Hidden talents. I don't know. That'll have to come out over the hopefully years to come of media scrutiny. We'll see.
I think you're going to be Prime Minister one day.
Oh, you spoil me. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Really good to meet you.
Thanks
too.
For your time.